W swag in your life? Idols that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
People through. This is Joni Eisenberg, and it is a little bit after 10 on March 17th, 2025. And we have a very powerful show in store for you today. You'll hear a little later why we played that song by Duke Ellington, sung by Mahalia Jackson. We're going to have a special guest, none other than Duke Ellington's daughter, April Ellington, speaking about a tribute to Mamie Till. You'll hear about that shortly. But first, we are very excited to have someone who's a very special person to me, and many other people may know of her. And that is none other than Damu Smith's daughter named Asha. And people may remember Damu Smith. He was very much a part of our radio station. He left us too soon of colon cancer, and Asha has a special announcement to share, and we hope to have Asha with us on more in the future. Good morning, Asha. I hope she can unmute herself. I'm having some technical challenges this morning, so Asha, welcome.
Part of our radio station. He left us too soon.
Okay, if somebody could tell me what's happening. Asha.
Hey, Joni, let's go ahead and take just a quick break.
Okay.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here, and on April 6th, noon until 7:30 p.m., Words, Beats, and Life kicks it off with the Jazz and Blossoms Park Jam. Family-friendly activities, art activations, food truck vendors, and performances will all happen in Franklin Park. Details at wblinc.org/WBLFest.
Hey, this is Alvin Nedab, your host of Music Memories, and my co-host,
Deborah Nedab.
And guess what, Deborah?
What?
We're moving.
We're moving?
That's right. We're moving from Mondays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., to Saturdays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., starting next Saturday, March 22nd. And Deborah, guess what?
What?
We're going to still continue to play the best old school music of all time. So we just want you to be there, 89.3.
Good morning. This is Joni, and we are having a very special show for you this morning. A little bit later, we're going to be speaking with none other than Duke Ellington's daughter, but right now we're going to be talking to Asha Smith,
who also has a very beloved dad, Damu Smith, who many people remember left us far too soon from colon cancer. We hope to have Asha on the airwaves with us more in the future. But good morning, Asha.
Good morning, Joni. How are you?
Good. Better hearing your beautiful voice. Oh. So tell us, Asha, and again, we'll have you on another time when we have more time to really be with you. But tell us what you're going to be doing. I think it's Sunday, March 23rd.
Yeah, so this weekend, March 23rd, the Colorectal Cancer Alliance is doing their 2025 Scope It Out 5K walk on the National Mall. And so they're getting together to celebrate and help to raise funds for those who are affected by colon cancer. And those who knew my dad, you know, of course, in addition to being an amazing environmental justice activist, anti-war activist, peace and justice activist, I mean, he did so many things, but in the latter part of his life, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. So last year I was at this same event and I shared his testimony about how he made his struggle with colon cancer public for an amazing reason. And that was because he didn't want other people, especially Black men, to go through the same thing that he went through, because he, you know, he didn't have health insurance, but because he was so beloved, the community came together. So many different people in the community came together to help him to be able to pay for his medical bills. And so, you know, he wanted to make sure that those who also didn't have access to healthcare were able to get their colonoscopies as well. So he really fought until the death to make sure that, you know, people didn't have to go through what he went through. And so the reason why I'm going to be there this weekend, you know, is to help keep that legacy alive in terms of keeping people informed about colon cancer, you know, how they can get screened and things like that, because that's what he would have wanted in addition to so many other things that he championed during his amazing lifetime when he was here before he passed away in 2006.
Yes. Well, many of us, Asha, believe he still is here with us and still giving us messages of hope. And in a moment, I want you to repeat where that event is, that 5K walk is taking place. But Damu made it very clear to me the reason he didn't make it is not because he didn't have health insurance, but because he did not really understand the value of a colonoscopy. Right. And me being a public health person, I've learned that actually colonoscopies are the number one most effective cancer screening tool, better than, you know, all the other things we hear about, mammograms, etc. So it's something that we as healthcare advocates can get on board and say colonoscopies is something, once you're 40 or 45, it's life-saving. So that's Damu's message to us. That's his message to us more than anything else. So Asha, share again the details. It's going to be this Sunday, and what time is it going to be?
It'll be this Sunday. So I'll be a part of the closing ceremony, which is going to take place at around 10:15 a.m. this Sunday. But I believe people will start walking at around 9:30. I think people will start walking at around 9:30. It's on the National Mall between the Capitol and the Monument. I think it'll be on the Ellipse. But that's where people are going to be gathering to do their walk. And people can search DC Scope It Out online to find out the exact details so you don't get lost downtown. But it's by the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. Okay. And you're so right. One of his main messages was for people to get their colonoscopies early and to not ignore the signs, because that's what he did. But again, he ended up living longer than what the doctors told him he was going to do. So God is amazing, even though he ended up passing away. But You know, his life is a testimony, and that indeed was his main message. So thank you for reminding us of that, Joni.
Well, thank you, Asha. And I'm hoping to have you on with us more. And I'm hoping that you'll help us really get an effective message out about colonoscopies. Those of us who believe in natural healing and are holistic health people, yet colonoscopies is one thing that we, all of us who know about the science in public health, colonoscopies are one thing that Dr. Watkins and all the holistic healers would agree is critical. And Jamu left us that assignment to get the help, get the word out. And of course, he left us the assignment that we have to continue to fight for peace and justice in this world. So,
amen.
Asha, I'm looking forward to having you on more, but just tell us, for those of us, because you are part of our family, briefly what you're doing in your life in terms of your music, et cetera.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much, Joni. Well, I'm currently a student at the University of the District of Columbia, and I'm studying digital media with concentrations in broadcast journalism and multimedia journalism. But I also study music at UDC, and I'll be finally graduating this May, on May 10th, with my degree in digital media. So I'm working on different things. I'm actually working on a documentary about my father and his life, particularly the work that he did in the environmental justice movement.
Wow.
We're seeing a lot of things, you know, they're highlighting a lot about Cancer Alley right now in the mainstream media. This is something that he worked on for many, many years, like 30 years ago. He was working down in Cancer Alley in Louisiana, you know, helping to get that pollution out of the neighborhoods of the residents of Cancer Alley. And then I'm also a musician. So I did release a song last year called Still Me. I'm featuring another artist. His name is Jay Loff. He's another former student at University of DC. And they actually played it on WPFW on Kamal's show.
Yes,
these Kamal bars and bangers.
Yes. Tuesdays at midnight. Yes.
Yeah, yes, so that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing, working on music and finishing my degree in digital media at UDC, graduating in May.
Wonderful. And we hope again to have you on more. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to multitask here. And we hope to have you on more, Asha, in the future, and helping us here in many ways. Definitely, including getting the word out about the importance of colon cancer screenings, not to mention many other things. And before you leave us, Asha, I just want to also mention something in terms of another healer in our community, and that is Kokai Patterson. Kokai Patterson worked very closely for decades with RAP Incorporated, Ron Clark, who's one of the founders of WPFW. Kokai was his right-hand person. He's an acupuncturist. He's done a lot of healing. There's going to be a special event for him. He's going through some of his own health challenges. It's going to be Friday, March 21st, from 6 to 9 at the Brookland Art Space. For more information to support Kokai Patterson and find out what's happening with him, call 202-375-9679. That's 202-375-9679, a special event in honor of Kokai Patterson. And Asha, we're going to leave you now, but we look forward to spending more time with you in the future. And as you know, the Hip Hop Caucus, every Friday at 9 a.m., they have a radio show right here in WPFW dealing with environmental justice. And Damu is partially responsible for making sure that that show is on the air. They broadcast a whole hour with Damu the week Friday before last. So we're all part of here of the WPFW family. And wishing you well, Asha.
Thank you. I love you so much, Miss Joni. Thank you for always opening your platform to me and helping to keep my father's legacy alive you know. And God bless Brother Kokai. I love him too. I'm sending healing energy his way, and I'm hoping to be able to make his event on Friday.
Okay, wonderful. Before we bring on our next guest, we're going to play a little music for her. For those of you WPFW music fans of Duke Ellington, many of you will recognize that song, Single Petal of a Rose. And I am delighted and very thankful to invite and welcome on our airwaves our guest for the rest of the hour. Her name is April Ellington, and she is the daughter of Duke Ellington. We're very thankful to have her with us this morning. She is the gala chair of the Women of Courage Award, which we're going to be hearing about in a moment. She's the founder of Savoy Ellington's, producer and musician, philanthropist, freedom fighter. She's with the board of directors of the Ellington Foundation and very much a part of the Ellington School of the Arts. Welcome, April.
Good morning, Joni. How are you?
Good. I'm having a little technical troubles here, but we're so happy to have you on for the hour. I'm going to ask you also to share a little bit more about yourself, but also tell us what you're up to, what you're going to be coming into town for in a couple of weeks.
Well, we are super excited to announce the 2025 Women of Courage Awards Gala, which is presented by the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. And we will be paying tribute to the enduring legacy of Mamie Till Mobley, mother of Emmett Lewis Till and mother of the movement. And as most people would know, but some may not, Mamie's unwavering courage in the face of tragedy ignited the civil rights movement and continues to inspire generations today. So we are super excited with this Women of Courage Awards that will be taking place on Sunday, March 30th at the National Press Club in D.C. And we're going to be honoring 18 fearless honorees, inclusive of, I'll give you the list after, but 18 women during Women's History Month, appropriately so. And we are super excited. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a star-studded gala, VIP reception previous to, and then gala and awards dinner. Yes.
And April, I want to welcome on my co-host Chuck Hicks, who also, of course, has been very involved with Deborah Watts, who is organizing this event. Chuck, welcome. Good morning. And if you have a comment or a question for April, you can jump right in.
Good morning, Chuck.
Okay.
Chuck, are you there? He must not be there. But yes, okay. Chuck Hicks is one of our honorary hosts for the evening. And of course, you mentioned Deborah. Deborah Watts is cousin to Emmett Till, and she is the co-founder of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation, and a super, super dynamic woman. Just she's a fearless leader herself.
Yes, absolutely. Good morning, Chuck.
Morning, Joni.
You have a comment about Deborah Watts or anything you'd like to jump in with?
Deborah is just a fascinating person. I met her many years ago at a congressional hearing around Emmett Till and Lynching. And we were doing something at the opening of the African American Civil War Museum. And I was chairing a concert. I invited her to come and speak. And that's how we met. And we've been locked to the hip ever since. So I'm absolutely excited about what's going to happen. And these outstanding women that we're going to be honoring. Just what a wonderful, outstanding group of women. So we urge everybody to jump on board and be a part of this.
Okay, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Mamie Till, but I know there are at least two women that Chuck and I and many listeners are very close to and very proud of, and that is Dory and Joyce Ladner.
Oh, yes.
Are two of the people, two of the women of courage that's going to be honored. And I don't know if there are other, Chuck, if you have the list, if there are other D.C. people that people may know. But it's quite a group of courageous women that are going to be honored.
Absolutely. And the Ladners, I had the pleasure of Deborah introducing me to both of the Ladner sisters on last year. And we spoke, and they are absolutely delightful. And, you know, wow, talk about women of courage. They have seen a lot in life in their day, believe me. And super, super inspirational women, for sure. Yeah.
Yes, they are. And they are very close friends of Chuck and I. And we often have had, of course, Dory and Joyce. Dory left us exactly a year ago on March 11th, but she's still with us every day. And she, both Dory and Joyce are part of our family here on WPFW. But let's talk a little more about Mamie Till. We know some of the younger listeners perhaps may not be as familiar with her, but share some of that with us, April, about Mamie.
Right. Well, an extraordinary, strong woman, definitely a woman of courage, appropriately named for the Women of Courage Awards. To have endured what Mamie Till Mobley endured with her son being so tragically murdered in Mississippi and so many years ago, a remarkable woman, and I don't know whether I would have been able to have endured to the degree that Mamie did endure. She was an extraordinary person, and on the personal side, but obviously, from a personal point of view, Deborah could speak to that better. Sharing the same DNA and being her cousin and whatnot. She was. I don't want to say she was a regular woman, because she wasn't. She was extraordinary, as I've already stated. You know, she loved her music. She was always sharp as a tack, for lack of a better phrase, with her hats and her gloves and her pocketbook, a very stylish woman for the day and for her time. And, you know, the tragedy endured again from her son being so brutally murdered, you know, who had left Chicago, to go back and visit his cousins and his family for the summer. And for this horrible, horrific event in history that occurred, and not just the fact that Emmett was murdered, but the way in which he was. And she was so strong when it came to, you know, funeral arrangements and all of that, by insisting that there was an open casket. So the world, not just America, but so the world could see the the horror and the unjust and what had happened to her son. Yeah. So, I mean, an extraordinary, strong woman of courage.
Absolutely.
And Joni, I'm also just reminded that Mamie represent and continues to represent so many Black women from slavery to now who have just had that courage to say, I am not going to give up. We rest so much on the strength of Black women in this country. And that she was an ordinary woman in Chicago, but she had that strength as any Black woman that I've ever known has had when it comes to her children. You can do what you want to her, but don't touch her children. That's a whole new thing.
Absolutely.
And she just represents all the Black women who are working in white kitchens, who are riding buses, who are washing clothes, whatever you are, wherever you are, if you're a teacher, if you're a singer, when it comes to strength for Black children, Black women is it, and Mamie is just a prime example of the strength of Black women.
Absolutely. And Chuck, maybe.
Second that motion. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Joni.
No, I was just going to mention, and maybe Chuck, you could remember, as many people do, that Mamie was on the cover of Jet magazine, which at that moment in time was quite unusual, really making sure that at least most Black people in the United States knew what was happening.
The interesting thing about that is that she was on the picture was on the front of Jet magazine, but for many years during the civil rights movement, it was the Black press who let people know what was happening. Mm-hmm. It was only after a number of things happened that the white press began to pick up civil rights struggles and what was going on to Black people and Black families. But we pay homage to the Black press from all the Black newspapers throughout this country because they kept us aware of what was going on. It was the Black press and Jet and Ebony and all the other magazines pushed that Emmett Till fight. And so if it had not been for the Black press, the struggle would have been incredibly more difficult.
Absolutely. And let me just share that I didn't mention this to you, April, but yesterday was a very special day for the Black press. It marked the 98th anniversary of when the first Black newspaper was printed, March 16th, 98 years ago. And there was a big event celebration yesterday at the Metropolitan Washington AME Church with Reverend Lamar. Honoring the whole morning was honoring the anniversary of the Black press. Also, it will soon be the 60th anniversary of the Washington Informer with our own Denise Roark Barnes. And they're having an event as well a few days before on March 28th. So it's interesting that all this is coming together. But yesterday was the anniversary, April. The 98th year ago, on March 16th, when the first Black newspaper was printed.
And Joni, let me quickly add
to the talking. Go ahead, Chuck.
Joni?
Yes, go ahead, Chuck.
Let me quickly add that my good friend Ben Chavis, Dr. Ben Chavis, has announced that this year coming up will be the year of missing Blacks. Focusing on missing Black children, women, and men. That we don't get the coverage when our family members go missing, the white family members do. So the Black press is going to be focusing, all of the Black press are committed to looking at missing Black children, family members.
And Reverend Ben Chavis was there yesterday, Chuck, and he was part of that celebration, and he promises he wants to jump in with us on the air again soon. April, I'm sorry to jump in.
No, it's all good. It's all history and all very important. And just to speak to what you were mentioning in terms of March 28th for the 60th anniversary of the Washington Informer, and on yesterday, March 16th, the 98-year anniversary of the first Black newspaper and Black press. And just to speak back to what Chuck was mentioning about Ebony and Jet and, you know, the Johnson family, Johnson Publications, and George Johnson, who's still alive and kicking, and just spent some time with him several months ago. And he has his book out now about his life story and how important that vehicle was for our community and for our people. You know, adding to what you had mentioned, Chuck, and with respect to Mamie about her, yes, being the mother of the movement, you know, the civil rights movement, the tragedy in the face of tragedy and igniting the civil rights movement. And for all women, she empowered us, and still for generations, and I'm sure for generations to come, which is the other reason why Deborah Watts and the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation continue to raise awareness with respect to how important this is to our history. Yeah, I think that that's super important. I don't know, I'm sure Joni, and for sure I know you as well, Chuck, have seen the Emmett Till movie, which I think was done very well.
And, yes, and we're going to say a word about that movie in a minute, but I want to let people know you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM, Jazz and Justice Radio. And we're certainly talking about jazz and embodying jazz and justice this morning on To Heal DC with me, Joni, and Chuck. And we're going to hear a little bit more from Duke Ellington. Let's hear African Flower. Okay, and that's Duke Ellington. And again, we're so blessed to have Duke Ellington's daughter on with us. And it's, of course, it's no surprise to many of us that this, the music that he created, what we're playing this morning, definitely fits in with our mood and our tribute to Mamie Lee and our tribute to Emmett Till. So we thank you, April. And we just want to mention about the film. Chuck and I are very close to Keith Beauchamp, who was the filmmaker of the Emmett Till film that came out, I think it was two years ago now. And Keith Beauchamp also has a connection with with WPFW family, and that is, as Dory Ladner would attest to, Guyot, Lawrence Guyot, who was also from Mississippi, recruited Fannie Lou Hamer into the movement and was very much a part of this radio station, a close friend of mine and Dory's and Chuck. Guyot started talking with Keith Beauchamp decades ago and gave Keith his assignment. He must make a film about Emmett Till. So Keith did. So again, we're very proud of WPFW's history with regards to these connections with Emmett Till. But let's get back to this event that April will be coming in to DC for. And again, April, tell us a little bit more about what you'll be doing and why this event is important.
Well, again, just to reiterate, it is super important with respect to our history My father always said, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. So from a historical point of view, from a point of view of all of our heritage, because we all share this, no matter what the color of our skin is. As Dr. King used to say, it's all about the content of our character. Mm-hmm. And it's a star-studded event to empower women, to honor women of courage. And again, we're so excited to present this with the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation at the National Press Club there in D.C. on Sunday, March 30th, and to honor these extraordinary awardees. We're honoring Erica Alexandra, Iman Muhammad Ali, Adrian Bowles, Barbara Broccoli, Brenda Brody, Marissa Joserar, Chinoya Chukwu, Alexia Claiborne, Danielle Deadweiler, who, of course, the movie Till, I don't need to tell you, Anya Dillard, Thelma Wright Edwards, Jeribu Hill, who I know you both know.
Yes, and she's Whoopi been Goldberg, part of our airwaves, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg, Dori Ladner, Joyce Ladner, Alana Mayo, Anne-Marie Vanest, and Merle Evers Williams, Edgar Evers' wife, and widow. So all of this coming full circle in 2025, when we look back at our history, and from 1958, what happened on that hot day in Mississippi by the Delta, to be able to look at this in a positive, we have to always try to take the positive out of things. And the positive out of it is honoring Mamie and keeping her legacy and her spirit alive in terms of empowering women. And, we all go, there's been so many impacted families that have suffered these tragedies. This may have been decades ago. This is still occurring in our country mm-hmm. on the regular.
And, absolutely.
There's so many families and so many mothers who have, gone through the same sort of torment and heartache and loss of their children for nonsensical, unwarranted, unjustified acts of violence in our country.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, there's also dads who have had to suffer this horrific grief. And certainly we know dads who lost their children in horrific ways, including my friend James Sherrod, whose son was killed by the police two summers ago. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to ask Chuck in a moment, Chuck, I'm going to ask you about your mom and what you're proud of with your mom and what you remember that she said to you when Emmett Till was killed. But I just want to mention before I forget, we have so many connections with Mamie Till. And one of them, I just found out about recently, April, and I shared it with you. We have a wonderful musician who is known throughout the world and is very much a part of this, of our community. Katia Stitt and works closely with him. And I go to all his concerts when he comes. Khalil El-Zabar is from Chicago, and he grew up next door to Mamie Lee. And when he heard about this Women of Courage Award, he got so excited. I think he's going to be in Paris, but we're going to see if maybe he can come on at some point before the event and talk about Mamie Till from his perspective. That's Khalil El-Zabar, who many listeners know. Chuck, I know you lost your mom earlier this year, but of course she's still with you. Tell us share with us your memories about Emmett Till's murder and her response.
I was perhaps 12 years old, around that age or something, and I remember my mother standing at the front door or our house looking out the screen. And I think she had talked to a neighbor and she was crying. And I couldn't understand why my mom was crying. So I said, "Mama, why are you crying?" And she said, "Baby, they just killed a little 12-year-old black boy. Even our little boys are not safe in this country. That's why I'm crying." Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that. Women begin to know that the boys, the children weren't safe. Not the new black men weren't safe, but the reality that my black child at 9, 10, 11, 12 years, 13 years old can be an Emmett Till. The new fear that I think black women had to carry.
Absolutely. And April, I don't know if you remember anything from either of your parents about that horrific day. And of course, it was April 28th. And as some young people don't know, April 28th is the reason why that was also the date years later for the 1963 March on Washington. But April, anything else you would like to share with regards to what this horrific killing has meant to you or your family?
Well, a very, very, very good question. It has taught me throughout my lifetime love and respect for life, which is how my brother Edward Ellington Jr. and myself were brought up or raised, for lack of a better phrase, and how important it is to guard and protect our heritage, and how important family is, and just respect all around. And it's also, again, just to reiterate what I had mentioned previously, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. So I say that in the context and the texture of that statement really is very powerful, because we all share this history. And it's still occurring again today, as I've also mentioned, and how important it is to have love and respect for life, and to be our brother and sister's keepers, and just how important it is to have that faith in family, no matter what circumstances one comes from or grows up in, and so on and so forth. Love and respect for life and family, respect for mothers everywhere, and daughters and sisters and aunts, and on and on and on. And that's why, again, we are so excited to celebrate Mamie Till with the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation on this 2 weeks Sunday. And also, I forgot to mention too, Joni, I wanted to mention that our honorary co-chairs, is Lonnie Bunch III. I'm sure you know Lonnie from the Smithsonian and so on and so forth, and William Sebastian Cohen and Janet Langhart Cohen. So we've got a really exciting evening planned, which the first time that Deborah has produced an event in the evening. She has, since 2005, is when she established the foundation, and has honored Mamie with the Women of Courage Awards for many years. It's always been a luncheon. This will be the first evening gala, and I think it's going to be pretty exciting. So folks, you need to come out and enjoy a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening. Yeah.
And is there a website where people can get more information?
Thank you, Joni. I was just about to say that. It's the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation, the 2025 Women of Courage Awards Gala. And that's Emmett Till Legacy Foundation.com. Emmett Till Legacy Foundation.com. Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, with this, in these days that we are walking through and experiencing, many of us feel as very frightening days, but we also feel hope that if we come together and stand together and organize and demand that we as human beings must be treated with dignity and love, that we deserve the services that we pay for with our own taxes. And so this event, Women of Courage Award, couldn't be more appropriate during this Women's History Month. It's very, very moving. Chuck, do you want to say anything more about the importance right now of this kind of event in these times that we're living in?
I think that we have to realize how important the fight we're in is serious, and how important it is that we have shoulders to stand on, who have been fighters all their lives. And so it's now not a time for us to give up or to get depressed and discouraged. You know, the names on that list are just absolutely extraordinary. And of course, my good friend Dory Ladner, who was the last person to be seen with Mega Edwards, had gone out to dinner, and he let her off, and she said, "Mega, I'll see you tomorrow." And he said, "Okay," and we drove home, opened the door, and she opened. And so she was the last person.
And that was
Mega Edwards. I'm just talking about, all the struggle that Black women have been through, and that we need to remember that and not give up, to keep the fight. This too will pass, but it won't pass unless we make it pass.
Absolutely. And I just want to mention that Dory had dinner with Medgar Evers, and that was June 12th, 1963. And she always talked about it with us. And, you know, we're very proud of Dory, as we're proud of Joyce and so many of the other women. But Dory was very close to both Chuck and I. She could be heard every Saturday on Lance Reynolds' show, House of Soul. And so this event represents people in our WPFW family that are being honored. So
just to speak to Medgar Evers, I'm losing my voice here. Apologies. We're very close with the Evers family, and my brother Edward and I performed for the 50th anniversary formerly, and we did the governor's ball with B.B. King, so on and so forth, in Mississippi. And Rena Evers Everett, obviously Metker's daughter, Merle's daughter, super wonderful, wonderful person. We love the Evers family very much, and very excited as well that Merle, with her legacy, as Chuck was mentioning, just all of the things that have occurred in our history and the horrific, pointless, and violent deaths that, you know, have been the tragedies that have happened for no reason, just because of racism and so on and so forth, which is why we, continue through the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation to honor the courage, amplify the voices, and continue the legacy, of our forefathers and foremothers. And with this event, obviously, honoring Mamie. And one thing I forgot to mention, Joni and Chuck, you're both aware of it, that our gala and ceremony host is going to be Sarah Sidner from CNN. And so we're very, very excited to have her on board for this very special event, and along with Tiger McMillan. So it's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see everybody there. Yeah.
Yes. And again, April Ellington is the gala chair of this Women of Courage Award. Very, very special evening. And I'm just wondering, April, are there any children that are going to be talking? As Chuck mentioned, you know, he was a child when he learned about Emmett Till. I was a child as well. It had a deep impact on me too. And as children, you know, we needed to be courageous as well back then. So I don't know if there are any children that are going to be with you that Sunday.
It's a good point. On that Sunday, we will have the honor of also joining us that evening, Shelton Chappelle, whose mother in Florida was tragically and brutally, nonsensically murdered. And, you know, he will be, he's actually going to be performing. He plays saxophone, and he's going to be performing that evening, and I'm certain he'll speak for a couple of minutes about, you know, being living and being alive and being the victim of an impacted family. So, yes, he will be there present speaking, and people will have an opportunity to. They just recently, after so many years in Florida, I think it was Jacksonville. I should have my. I think it was Jacksonville. I can't recall the city. But finally, the city, you know, had a plaque, presented him with a plaque in honor of his mother. But this took many, many years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're living in 2025, and it still took years for the city and the state to recognize the unjust murder of his mother, of Shelton Chappelle's mother. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, and I'm sure with all the tragedies and deep sorrow that will be reflected on Sunday, March 30th, there will also be joy. I know there's going to be joy there as well.
Joy comes in the morning.
I think that the fact that you have so graciously decided to be one of the people who are going to chair this event and be there. Tell the director and founder of the African American Civil War Museum, it tells us the importance of how important this is and how important it is for Black people in terms of we're saying this is important. These are people who have made a difference, you know, come out and celebrate the importance of these people who have made a difference in many, many ways that we even unaware of that affects us today. And we're grateful that you and Lenny and all the many other people who want to be there to honor the many, many women of courage.
Well, thank you so much, Chuck. And we are so blessed. I'm so blessed today to be able to speak with you and join you with Joni this morning. I'm super excited and looking forward to seeing you on the 30th of March. And, you know, it's my pleasure. It's also my obligation, my responsibility, and my duty to continue legacy, you know, and to honor, as I mentioned, our foremothers and our forefathers. Yes. So thank you for saying that, and you're welcome. Thank you.
and April, before we need to leave you, and I'm just going to mention, after this program, after this hour is over, we're going to have a special hour broadcast of a rally that took place 2 years ago at HUD with some of the housing activists and the union activists sharing that. So you'll hear that at 11 a.m. But let me just ask April, as well, we're in a little bit, we're going to go out with a song that her dad wrote, and both of us thought about it last night. It's going to be sung by Mahalia Jackson come Sunday. Maybe talk a little bit about that song, April.
Certainly.
And why it's important.
Right. Well, when we consider the times and the era, of course, that was come Sunday. Written by my father, which became inclusive of his first sacred concert. He did write three sacred concerts and considered those to be the most important works of his entire lifetime, of his catalog of over 6,000 compositions. And Mahalia Jackson recorded that in the dark, asked to have the lights put out. It was performed the first time in 1943, at Carnegie Hall, to a part of the Black, Brown, and Beige suite. And of course, Mahalia Jackson needs no introduction. And why that's so important, why Joni, you and I were speaking about that last night and found that to be an appropriate musical selection, on today with respect to honoring Mamie Till and our upcoming Women of Courage Awards. And the era, I mean, when you listen to these lyrics, and it's Lord, dear Lord above, God Almighty, God of love, please look down and see my people through. Mm-hmm. That's just a tidbit of what the lyrics are. And that's exactly where my father was coming from when he composed those lyrics. And that was 1943. Let's mm-hmm. not forget, that was 1943, long before, I mean, we're talking a right. long time ago.
And it could have been written again, today.
I was just going to say, coming full circle with it, Joni. Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we're going to mm-hmm. hear it in a moment. But I also want to say, of course, your dad is also very much a part of this radio station. Take the A-Train was the first song that we played, Von Martin,
right.
48 years ago. And we're going to be celebrating mm-hmm. the station's birthday in a few weeks on April 26th. But that's how this radio station started. And Katia mm-hmm. Stitt and others were part of a show that was on for many years called Black, Beige, and Brown. So we are very much honored that you, April, could join us this morning. And we're going to hear Come Sunday in a moment, sung by Mahalia Jackson. And of course, many of us remember as children that Mahalia Jackson was not allowed to perform at the, I'm forgetting the name of the famous hall. And she performed it, I believe, at the Lincoln Memorial, if I'm not mistaken. I remember my mother.
She performed at Carnegie Hall in 1943.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So your final words, April, and we hope to talk to you again in the future.
I look forward to that, Joni. It's been my absolute pleasure. And, you know, on behalf of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation and Deborah Watts and the Women of Courage Awards 2025, National Press Club, March 30th. Look forward to seeing everyone.
Okay.
God bless.
Okay, let's hear it. Come Sunday. Thank you, April.
Thank you.
Oh, come Sunday. That's the day.
WPFW. Festival season is here, and on April 6th, noon until 7:30 p.m., Words, Beats, and Life kicks it off with the Jazz and Blossoms Park Jam. Family-friendly activities, art activations, food truck vendors, and performances will all happen in Franklin Park. Details at wblinc.org/WBLFest.
Please join the WPFW family as we celebrate the life and legacy of our friend and colleague Larry Applebaum, longtime host of The Sound of Surprise, who joined the Ancestors on February 21st. Join us this Sunday, March 23rd, at Westminster Presbyterian Church, beginning at 2 p.m., as we gather to remember Larry and his more than 40 years of service to WPFW, his long career at the Library of Congress, and his many contributions to the jazz world at large. Paul Carr and friends will be on hand to provide the music. Again, that's this Sunday, March 23rd, beginning at 2 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, go to WPFW.